Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome everyone to the Ultimate NBA Season Preview Podcast presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. This week we'll be visiting five groups of teams that we have dubbed the Contenders, the Tankers, the Debatables, the Playoff Hopefuls, and the Teams on the Rise. Today we're going to deep dive into the Debatables group. Teams that have huge, major questions attached to each of them. The Philadelphia 76ers, Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Clippers, Portland Trail Blazers, and the Dallas Mavericks. Today you'll hear from both our Locked On local experts and Odyssey analysts. Let's start by hearing from one of those analysts, NBA champion and the White Mamba himself, Brian Scalabrine, on the team with maybe the biggest question in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right, so let's start out with some of the teams that have the biggest question marks. And there's the Philadelphia 76ers, Golden State Warriors, Dallas Mavericks, Clippers, Denver Nuggets, and Portland Trail Blazers. Let's start out with the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, Ben Simmons' situation in flux. Now, I liked the Sixers last year. I thought Ben Simmons makes a huge impact. A lot of people told me that Ben Simmons is going to have an issue in the playoffs because he can't shoot. And I know people do overreact to him not being able to shoot threes. And I think that's part of the game. Sometimes they ignore all the other things that he does so well. I don't think that he could be your point guard. And I do think he could be a basketball player. And we're entering into a world of positionless basketball. You know, Ben Simmons is more valuable in my world than other people. And I understand that. But here's the thing. You cannot, under any circumstance, play a guy who's afraid to have the ball in the fourth quarter. And this isn't new. It had to happen in the playoffs to hit people smack dab in the face for them to see it. Ben Simmons has never been a big-time fourth-quarter player in a tight game. He doesn't want the ball. He doesn't want to get fouled. He doesn't want the loss to fall on him. So Philadelphia is probably going to have to trade him. And then there comes the problem. Right now, everyone's optimistic about making the playoffs. Everyone believes one way or another that they are going to have this great season, overachieve, and every player on their team is going to have the best season possible. But we know, that doesn't happen in the NBA. So as of right now, not a lot of great trade opportunities for Ben Simmons. They probably should have traded him around the draft. They didn't. Probably a lot of people don't want to have Ben Simmons as your first or second best player. But I would say this. If I was the Golden State Warriors, I would look into it. If I was the Brooklyn Nets with the Kyrie situation, I would look into it. Ben Simmons can have a big time impact for a team if he's your third best player. And I'm talking championship level impact, as long as he's not required to carry the team in a tight game of the fourth quarter. So Philadelphia, I could see him being a fifth seed. This thing is not too big of a distraction. If they get a halfway decent player, I still like their group. I like them in the regular season. I don't expect them to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they could be a first-round exit. They can blame it all on Ben Simmons, and that's probably what will happen.
All right, and welcome to the Locked On NBA Podcast Host Roundtable back in the Odyssey Ultimate Preview. The NBA season is upon us, gentlemen. My name is Nick Engstead. I am the host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast. Been covering the Mavericks for 6 years now. I've been a credentialed media member I've been writing, covering the team, and I host a Locked On Mavericks podcast. And I'm excited to talk about some Luka Doncic today, guys.
I'm sure you are. That makes total sense.
I'm excited to talk about Luka too. That's good.
Sitting next to me virtually is Positive Chuck Mockler.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? I am Positive Chuck Mockler, host over at Locked On Clippers. Been covering the team for about 5 years, credentialed for five because that's how the Clippers do things. I'm excited to talk about why the Clippers are still going to be good without Kawhi Leonard.
And I am your past first point guard, host of Locked On Blazers, Mike Richmond. Oh, I've been doing it for a while. I'm not going to give you all a timeline, but I've been covering the Blazers for as long as pretty much Damon Lillard's been around, and I'll probably be here once he's gone too.
I just realized I'm the only one here without a nickname. Positive Chuck Mockler, past first point guard.
Hey, when I first joined the network, we were told that we had to create our own nicknames, so this is what's up.
Well, I call Isaac the One More Thing King every day, so he's got a nickname. I guess that works. All right, we're going to get into some big questions about the Debatables. These are a group of teams that we have determined as teams that have massive, huge questions to them. So obviously, I cover the Mavericks, the Clippers, Blazers represented, Sixers, Warriors, and Nuggets we're going to talk about as well, because those teams are just, I mean, they have some huge questions, the Sixers specifically. Massive questions for him. So let's just start with the first one. What's the biggest question mark for your team? We'll start with the Dallas Mavericks here. There's two, I think, for the Mavericks, and I'd actually like to get your guys' opinion. Which one from the outside you think is a bigger question mark? Jason Kidd and Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis, it's kind of obvious. It's the injury stuff. It's can he stay healthy for a whole year? I'm going to do the bit one more time where I'm going to take a drink because he's healthy going into this offseason for the first time. And like so many people have said that. Mark Cuban has said that. Coaching staff has said that. He's said that. It's just become a bit on our podcast. So Porzingis is healthy coming into the offseason. He's been looking a little bit better in preseason, at least defensively, the way he moves and the way he's able to get to shots and things like that. And so that seems to be positive. But can he become the player, the all-star level, at least, player that he was in New York? Can he continue to find his way in the offense? And then how is Jason Kidd going to run this team? How is he going to try to be different than Carlisle? We're seeing a couple things here and there that are different already, but that's going to be a big question mark. Can he be a coach that leads a team into, winning a playoff series? He hasn't done that yet in his career, and he's not done a lot in his coaching career, really, besides being assistant coach for the Lakers. So actually, let me just throw this to you guys. Which one do you think is a bigger question mark for the Mavs, Jason Kidd or Porzingis?
For me, it's Kristaps, because talent is more important than coaching. You can overcome dummies. Like, everyone thought that Mike Budenholzer was the worst coach in the NBA, and they're ready to fry his ass and all this stuff. And then they get a better roster and they win the title. Like, it's just the thing that you'd rather have is more talent. I'm not worried about Jason Kidd posting up Kristaps Porzingis a whole bunch. That's just a weird thing he's going to do during the regular season. If he's the defender that he was in 2018-19, the Mavs have a chance to be really good. If he is the dude who gets roasted and people chase down and pick and rolls, and you end up playing him off the floor and you got to find ways to get Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber in closing lineups, the Mavs aren't a good team. That they're what they are is they're solid, but they're not one of these teams that can win a championship. Without Kristaps at his defensive peak, they are merely a fun team to watch each evening.
Damn, a little harsh at the end. I kind of agree. I think Kristaps, I don't know what evidence there is for him to be better at defense. We haven't really seen it since those couple years. But I think hiring Jason Kidd, I think Kristaps is the bigger kind of red flag issue. But Jason Kidd, there's a whole bunch of baggage that comes with Jason Kidd. And like you said, he's never won a playoff series. Like, he did have young Giannis for sure. It wasn't what Giannis is now and stuff like that. But I just don't know if he can get past, like, because we talked about it kind of before we started recording, how the Clippers and Mavs are going to be seeing each other a lot in the playoffs these next handful of years and these past couple of years. I mean, he's not out coaching Ty Lue. Like, when it comes to coaching battle, I just don't see Jason Kidd being able to do that. But I think Luka will be able to maximize Kristaps in the role that Jason Kidd wants him to be in offensively, which will maybe outweigh the defensive issues.
Yeah, the answer to both of these questions is how much can Luka Doncic elevate them above these two things, right? He just becomes the answer to so many questions. And that's the way it kind of has to be. Let's move over to the Clippers. What's the biggest question mark for the Los Angeles Clippers? Positive.
Well, the biggest question mark is what does this team look like without Kawhi Leonard for more than usual? Because we've seen a lot what this team looks like without Kawhi Leonard, because that's the nature of having Kawhi Leonard as your 1A. But the question mark is, what can this team look like without Kawhi Leonard? And that, I mean, goes into, can Paul George play like he did in the playoffs for the entire season?
The thing about the sort of playoff P moniker is that Paul George mostly kicked ass in the playoffs until he started calling himself playoff P. And then he finally got over it once we made fun of him enough and started to kick ass in the playoffs again. That just seems like a heavy load for him for 80 games is the thing I would worry about with him. Like, he's awesome. Paul George is like
absolutely.
Paul George is a meme, and people are mean to him because he's a meme. And his the thing he's worst at is talking into a microphone. He's
thank
awesome
you.
At basketball.
Thank you, thank you. We say that so much on Locked On Clips, which is the worst part of Paul George's game is his interviews.
Like, yeah, like
he had the driver's seat quote. He should not be given a microphone.
He just does almost everything well on the basketball court, and oh man, once he gets off it, it's bad news.
Yes.
So I worry a little bit about the load for Paul George, like, but he's capable of being a top tier star. I think we all thought like, oh, he's a two when he was next to Russell Westbrook, or like the second guy is what I mean by that, next to Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard. But then when they gave him the keys to the truck, man, he was really, really good. So I think the Clippers are still going to be good. It's just hard to win a championship when you're missing someone as good as Kawhi Leonard is.
And that's the vacuum, right? Like, I think people saw that Kawhi Leonard went down, and there's, you know, we all spend probably too much time on Twitter, and especially NBA Twitter, and people are like, oh, well, the Clippers might not even be a play-in team. And it's like, well, I understand the disrespect is there for the Clippers, but losing Kawhi is a lot, but we still have Paul George. We still have a very capable coach in Ty Lue who changed a lot about the game. So it's really just going to be, and how many games does Paul George play? He's not playing 80 games. Like, he just won't.
Right.
And I don't think he should. So, I mean, Nick, what do you see? Do you foresee a Clippers-Mavs Kawhi-less playoff matchup this season? Like, it kind of seems like things are trending that way.
Oh, considering the way the last 2 years went, I sure hope so. It's Kawhi-less, right? Because, man, dude, that guy was so good in the past in last year's playoffs. Like, that team totally
he was peaking.
Could've...
We truly were peaking, and then Joe Ingles sidestepped a couple inches, and we're here where we are now.
We forget Kawhi Leonard was a bucket in that series, right? Like,
God,
but he really was. 48 points in that game six that just kind of, I mean, if the Mavericks had won that game, obviously the series would have been over. But that would have just been a brutal blow to that Clippers team. And he just put him on his back, and it destroyed his knees, I guess, apparently in the process.
So fun fact about game two of the Clippers game two loss against the Mavericks in the first round. That is year to date, the Locked On Clippers most listened to podcast.
The loss
of game two against the Mavs.
It's
Mavs fans, bro. I'm telling you, our heaviest listens are when the Clippers lose. That's
we sent everybody over to your podcast. We're like, just listen to the misery over there.
Well, I love the replies because we got a couple of reviews who were like, look, like, we came to gloat, but you guys just generally sound so sad and had pretty level-headed takes. I was like, what do you want us to do?
Let's move over to the Blazers. What's the biggest question mark for the Portland Trail Blazers, Mike Richmond?
Did they do enough? And did they all summer long, Damian Lillard was, for the first time in his career, said, I want more from this team. And he's probably said that behind the scenes a bunch. He's had his fingertips on a bunch of things. The Carmelo Anthony move is a Damian Lillard move. The Hassan Whiteside move before that was a Damian Lillard move. Like, he is the way that superstars get to control some personnel. Dame has controlled some personnel, but he's never done it in public. And this summer, for the first time, he said, we need a better roster. Give me what I need to get there. And they delivered. Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cody Zeller and Ben McLemore. And quite frankly, I'm pretty, if my listeners to my podcast will know, but if you're not familiar, please listen to Locked On Blazers. But like, I'm pretty pessimistic when it comes to this team. I think they're better. Like, I think they're better, but did they do enough to get to that next tier? Did they do enough to be a team that can win a playoff round and then go further? I like Larry Nance Jr. I think he's going to be a really fun basketball player to watch. I don't know. what do you guys think? Do you think they're better, like wholly better, to the point where you would pick them to win a playoff series? Obviously, there's some teams you absolutely wouldn't against, but like, do you see them, say they match up either, hell, against Dallas or the Clippers? Would you pick them to win a playoff series?
I mean, I wouldn't against Dallas, I don't think. I just don't think that they have anybody to slow Luka down. And then in the paint, I mean, is Nurkic going to be able to do any damage in there? Is their offense going to be able to hold up? Like, There's a lot of big question marks there, I think, for sure. But yeah, they're another one of these teams. And the Mavs sort of did the same thing where they got a little bit better, but was it enough? Was it enough to get where they actually want to go? And I'm not sure the Blazers got that much better. They are still a solid team, though. And if everybody stays healthy, last season the Blazers dealt with a ton of injuries, too, right? And guys were out all the time and just didn't have the squad together. But if you have that, you know, Nurkic, Covington, Nance, McCollum, Lillard, and then every once in a while maybe switch in Norman Powell for one of those bigs, right? Like, then all of a sudden that's a team that can it can beat somebody in the playoffs probably. I'm not sure it's the Mavericks. I don't think that it's the Lakers. I don't think that it's, you know, there's just a bunch of teams you can start. The Suns probably. You can start running
down teams.
Yeah, I wouldn't
pick them against Phoenix. I wouldn't pick them against – I maybe would pick them against Utah because I'm a hater, but like
– I mean, but historically against the Clippers, Dame isn't doing anything. Like right, his numbers against the Clippers are bad. Yeah. So I think that kind of negates them in a seven-game series.
But his numbers against Paul George are really good, though. So does that maybe offset that?
Not since he's been with the Clippers.
Yeah, it's more about the laundry. It's more about the laundry.
Exactly.
This might make me, I already said I'm a hater, but this might make me a hater. I think Luka is just a more of a ceiling raiser than Dame is. I just think he...
Like, not a floor raiser? I think Luka is both, a floor raiser.
He's both, but I think like the Mavs, like they're fine, but I just think like fine plus Luka is a shot. And I think fine plus Dame is, we kind of know the deal.
That's a good point.
That, I mean, listen, at Mike G. Rich on Twitter, I apologize. But, like, but I really believe it. Like, I think we kind of know the story with this team, and I think they're going to be solid and entertaining and competitive again, but I don't think they took that next step. And that might mean that next summer they look very, very different.
Let's move on to quickly get to the Nuggets, Warriors, and Sixers, the teams here that we're also talking about on this episode. The Nuggets, the biggest question for them, the Jamal Murray one is obvious. It's a little bit like Kawhi, but he's supposed to come back a little bit earlier. He's maybe supposed to come back in February or March. The big question, the obvious one is, what can he look like? What is he going to look like? That's their, if their championship window is going to be open this season, he has to come back and look really good. I think the maybe the sneakier, you know, big question for them outside of Jamal Murray is, what can Michael Porter Jr. do? Or can Michael Porter Jr. take enough of a load offensively, enough of a load for this team, be good enough on defense and all that, raised to the level of, I can be the secondary on this team and we can, you know, we can contend.
I think his defense is what's going to doom them. He's still going to get hunted out, I think, on the defensive end. He's still a young player. He's very good. He's very confident, as we all know. As a Clippers fan, I was very mixed on him as a draft pick. Obviously, would have been better than Jerome Robinson, but that's besides the point.
Who's keeping tabs on that?
Maybe. but I think his defense is what's going to doom him. And I think there's going to be games where he just doesn't have it. And he's still going to try and have it. And it might put them into a seed where they don't want to be.
I'm a Michael Porter Jr. believer. I'm a full-fledged. I'm like, I'm on the boat. Like I'm like doing the George Washington at the front of the boat, pointing across the Delaware. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I think he's a star. Maybe not.
So the Nuggets, they paid him huge contract.
And they should have. Like that's the crazy contract to give a player like that.
6'10" and that shooting ability. He showed some real rebounding chops. He went from being horrific on defense to just kind of like normal bad. And I think that's a big step forward. Also, the best thing to be if you're bad on defense is big, and he's big as hell. So it's the Luka Doncic plan. Like he's just, if you're not gonna be very good, you might as well be gigantic.
The hate coming from, now it's coming to other teams now, the hate from Mike Richards.
I watched one of the worst defensive teams in the league. I know what it looks like. Yeah, I can diagnose it.
Well, and like Porter Jr. is going to be able to carry him through the regular season, right? It's just when it comes down to a playoff
when the bench
series,
is shortened and all that stuff, he's going to get hunted. He's going to get hunted into actions that put him into other worst defenders.
Sure.
And Malone's a great coach. He'll figure out how to hide him. But when it gets to crunch time, I guarantee you that any game-winning shot that is against the Nuggets, he will be in the frame.
Sure.
The Golden State Warriors, again, it's a very similar situation. The biggest question for them is Klay Thompson. What can he do? When can he come back? It looks like, you know, people have talked about Christmas, but now we're here in, you know, January for him to come back. He's coming back from even more than Jamal Murray. I think that's even a bigger question mark for them. But yeah, that's the huge one for them, because if not, they're the exact same team as last year, just with some other young players. Maybe James Wiseman takes a step forward, but he would have to take a pretty big step forward to make an impact, I think.
Yeah, and he's not even back yet, is he? He's still working his way back from injury. So, yeah, I mean, Steph Curry's going to make you a pretty good basketball team. Like he's that and Draymond's IQ and kind of like give a heck or whatever you want to call it. Like he just, you know, like if he's just going to make you, they're going to be tough if those two play. 2 years removed from injury is a long time. I mean, 100%. That's what it seems like to me that they're, I am probably lower. I'm higher on MPJ and lower on the Warriors maybe than the consensus.
I've seen people just put the Warriors as a, like, automatic top four seed. And I'm like,
I don't get that. I've seen Steph Curry in the playoffs against Clippers a whole bunch. We know what Steph Curry can do, but they're banking on Clay still being Clay kind of 100%, which Kevin Durant did it, but that's Kevin Durant. And I'm not trying to say that Clay Thompson is like very much worse than Kevin Durant, but he has to do a lot to get back to that rhythm. And you're banking on Steph, you know, like there's these plateaus for guys like Steph and LeBron. Like we know that their step down from the plateau of greatness is still really good, but what is that level in relation to everyone else? And how does that affect heading into the playoffs and stuff like that?
We have one Eastern Conference team in this episode that we're talking about, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. And we had to put them in this episode because who is more debatable right now than the Philadelphia 76ers with the Ben Simmons situation? Full disclosure, we're recording this on Saturday, October 9th, and Ben Simmons is still not either reported to camp or been traded. So it's still way up in the air. And that's the biggest question for them. It's so easy. Everybody's talked about it so long. You guys have any other thoughts about Ben Simmons, about the Sixers? I'm wondering, and I asked this on Locked On NBA on Friday, when do we start talking about the Sixers as a team without him, right? Because if they're still going to play basketball. They're playing preseason games without him. They're going to have to go compete without him. Maybe he just doesn't play the whole year and Morey doesn't find a good enough deal. Like maybe this is a team that acts like Ben Simmons is just hurt the whole year.
Are they a playoff team without him?
In the East, yeah.
I think so too, yeah.
Me too. I just want to... That like are they? They're probably not a home court advantage team without him. There's too many.
No, but Doc Rivers is their coach, so no, they will not be a home court advantage team.
Didn't they win 60 games or whatever? That's pretty good before April.
Yeah, sure. But no, apparently they offered the Blazers. It was three firsts, three swaps, and CJ McCollum for Benzema, which is insane. Like
they didn't offer, they asked for that, right?
Yeah, they asked, right? Well, yeah, they might have pitched it as an offer, like we'll give you Ben Simmons. But but look at who's at the top. Like they're not gonna go further than the second round. And the East is kind of a bloodbath. I think the Knicks are gonna kind of repeat what they did. They're still gonna believe they can and still be an issue. And I mean, it's, I don't know. I would just prepare for more letdown if I was a 76er.
It's going to look a lot like not last year, but the year before when they just got ousted in the first round against the Celtics, right?
Yeah,
like,
in the bubble.
I feel like it's just going to be, in the bubble, right? It's just going to feel like that year all over again.
Yeah, they just don't have a point guard because they're missing. They had an all league point guard. He didn't show up. They just don't have that player on the roster right now. With all due respect to Tyrese Maxey, who I like, they just don't have one.
Without a huge step forward from Maxey or Shake Milton or. That's it, right?
Like, end of list.
They also won't get a step forward because they have one of the worst coaches for a young player, which is Doc Rivers.
We are coming for Glenn here.
Hey, it's okay.
Absolutely.
If we were talking about the Pacers, we'd be having a similar conversation.
It took an Avery Bradley ankle injury for Shea to start for the Clippers, so I do not believe in Doc Rivers' ability.
Did he turn out good?
Young player. Shea? Yeah, he turned out okay.
Okay. I'll have to check in on him.
There you go. We'll be back a little bit more talking about the best case scenario to make these teams, the Debatables, a title contender. We'll talk about that coming up on the Odyssey Locked On Ultimate Season Preview.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in the know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now let's focus on a team with a wide range of outcomes depending on who you talk to, the Golden State Warriors. First, let's hear Brian Scalabrine's thoughts, and then we'll get Bonte Hill from 97.1 The Game in the Bay Area for his take on why the Warriors might be a championship contender.
Let's move on to the Golden State Warriors. Here's how I feel. If Klay Thompson comes back and he is strong, you have to look into trading some of the younger guys. Now, I'm not sure I'd move on Wiseman yet, depending on who's available out there. But you have Wiggins' contract, you have Kuminga, you have Moses Moody, you have Jordan Poole, who has emerged in this preseason as a pretty bona fide scorer. So if Klay Thompson comes back and he is anywhere near the level he was before, I think you have to kick the tires on trying to upgrade the roster. But only if there's the right move. You know, you could operate with two timelines. I don't think the Warriors are championship level with their current team. But I do think they could be championship level with a certain trade. I really like the players on their team. You know, I would do it if I was Ben Simmons. I mean, if I would do the trade for Ben Simmons. Remember, Ben Simmons the last two seasons led the NBA in assist to three-pointers made. Obviously, with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry out there, that would improve. I like Draymond Green and Ben Simmons together. A lot of people don't. I think both those guys have incredible defensive instincts to counter, you know, what they have. I would love if that were to happen. I'm not sure it is, but I would be really interested in that. But as it speaks right now, let's say Warriors stay status quo. I see the Warriors being a very tough out in the playoffs and could shock some people, like beat a LA Lakers or beat a Denver Nuggets type of team, because you still have to eliminate Steph and Klay, and we've seen what those guys are capable of when their back is against the wall.
What about the Warriors could make them a championship contender this season? Well, they got to get healthy. And that starts with Klay Thompson, the Splash Brother, the guy everybody in the Bay Area loves. Look, he's missed the last two seasons. And we know what happened in the 2019 NBA Finals when he went up for a dunk attempt. And Danny Green, oh, that dirty Danny Green, went up and tried to block the shot. And Klay tears his knee up. He's out for the season. And then on draft night, the night we were all supposed to celebrate James Wiseman being selected number two overall, well, the news drops that Klay Thompson tore his Achilles in a pickup game down in L.A., and that set things off on the wrong foot. So the Warriors, they have to get healthy. Steph has to be Steph. And who says he can't be Steph Curry? He was an MVP candidate last season and probably played the best offensive basketball of his career. Think about the games he had. 30-point streaks, 40-point streaks, the 62-point night against the Portland Trail Blazers, the threes that he made. Steph Curry was special, and nobody thought he could do it at the age of 32. Now he's 33, and he looks like he's in the best shape of his career. And then you think about Draymond Green, the enforcer, the junkyard dog. He's coming off a gold medal in Tokyo. You think Draymond's not ready to get back to the playoffs? You think Draymond's not going to play at a high level, a level that could net him Defensive Player of the Year? So now you got the big three here for their 10th season with Steph, Klay, Draymond, Oh, and what do you know? Andre Iguodala is back in a Warriors uniform, the three-time champ and finals MVP in the 2016 finals. Iguodala, his mentorship to guys like Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and James Wiseman will be beneficial for this basketball team. Then you got two-way Wiggs, and you got Automatic Porter Jr. from the three-point line. This team can be a contender, but first, they have to stay healthy. And that's how the Warriors will help Steph, Clay, and Dre win their fourth championship here in 2022.
All right, we're back with the Locked On Roundtable on the Odyssey Ultimate NBA season preview. Nick Angstead covering the Dallas Mavericks, Charles Mockler covering the Los Angeles Clippers, and Mike Richmond covering the Portland Trailblazers. Best case scenario to make our teams, or the teams that we cover, the teams we're talking about in this episode, title contenders. We'll start with the Dallas Mavericks. The best case scenario is just Luka has an incredible, you know, MVP level season. He stays healthy through the whole year. He goes into the playoffs and he's rested. He's ready to go. And the Mavericks have hopefully somehow added a secondary creator, maybe a Dragic, somebody like that along the way, a buyout guy maybe. And Kristaps Porzingis plays like an all-star. He probably won't be an all-star in the Western Conference, but if he can play like that and just play at least slightly above average defense, I think this team with the right matchups can be, you know, in the NBA Finals. I think with the right injuries, with the right matchups in the playoffs, I think they can be right there. So I don't think a ton has to go right, but I think that there are a few things that do, and it's Porzingis. Maybe Jason Kidd staying out of the way a little bit. Maybe no practices on Christmas, probably. Maybe that's the thing they try to avoid. But yeah, I think those are the big things for the Mavs.
Yeah, I mean, the best case scenario of Luka being the best player in the league isn't that, like, it's not that crazy. It's a very reasonable idea that he could be the best player, like at least the best offensive force in the league by a lot. Like he's dude's a monster. I was watching him in preseason this week and I was like, we don't need to see any more of this guy in exhibition season. Like, he's ready to kick ass. Let's just go ahead and wait for a couple weeks and get him back out here.
It honestly has looked like one of those like really good players in summer league where you're like, oh, he doesn't have to play the rest of this, right? Like,
yeah, in preseason.
So
totally.
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, they go as far as Luka takes him. Like, that's the thing. If he can be a little better on the defensive end, not like, we're not asking him to be, you know, like a lockdown defender or anything like that.
Yeah, not like Patrick Beverley.
Yes, exactly.
Poor guy.
Hey, he's not with the team anymore. Makes total sense.
He has been ousted to Minnesota.
But I think they go as far as Luka, and I think they go as far as Jason. Like, Jason Kidd just has to not alienate Luka. That's the one thing Jason Kidd has to do, is just not make Luka feel like he's not part of kind of calling the shots. And I think if he can do that, they'll go pretty far.
Best case scenario to make your team a title contender, Los Angeles Clippers. Chuck Mockler, what you got?
Best case scenario, Clippers win 60% of their home games in that first month and a half. Kawhi comes back in April or whatever, and we're the 4 seed and we're peaking at the right time. That's best case scenario.
And he comes back and he looks like he did last year. Maybe it takes him a round or two to get ready, but the Clippers have proven last year that they're good enough. They beat that Jazz team without Kawhi Leonard in those last two games. So they're good enough in certain matchups to win, right? Like they don't necessarily need Kawhi to get out of a first round to be like 100%.
That's kind of what I meant by the house money thing, right? Like, if we get to the first round, we know we can get to the second round without Kawhi. We also have added a couple guys who can handle the ball at different positions, and Ty Lue is done a great job of tinkering with small ball lineups and stuff like that. So, I mean, without Kawhi, this team is still a second round team, I think. But with Kawhi, if he comes in and we're peaking at the right time, and Kawhi's not going to come back when Kawhi, you know, if he's not ready, right? Like, there's no rushing Kawhi Leonard to come back for the Clippers.
We're telling him anything, it seems.
Yeah, like you can't even text the guy. Like, it's totally fine. Like, so if he comes back, I'll feel great because he's fully ready and feels 100% good to go. Some of this hinges on Serge Ibaka's health too. That was fully mismanaged last season in the way that I see it. But I still think we got a great coach. And I think when you're missing a guy like Kawhi Leonard, the coach comes more into play than in the Jason Kidd scenario. We already have everybody who's great. You got Luka, right. He's healthy. So I think, you know, Ty Lue coaching with his back to the wall is not a coach that I would ever want to go against. So I feel pretty confident.
Fully healthy Clippers will be the favorites in the West. So if they're fully healthy in May,
appreciate you.
cool. Like if they're fully healthy, in May, cool. Like then they're right back there at where we thought they were last year and where they were last year, quite frankly, until things went a little sideways.
Best case scenario for the Portland Trail Blazers, Mike Richmond, to win the title. Best case for them to win. Make some kind of case.
Okay. Here it is.
They made the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago.
I recall.
Sure.
They did.
CJ McCollum, the first 13 games last year, averaged 27, 5, and 6. 75 games of CJ McCollum averaging 27, 5, and 6. That's a big ask. He's a pretty good basketball player. That's step one. Step two is that Damian Lillard is the MVP of the league. Even if he doesn't win MVP, that he's one of the three best players in the league. And you start putting him ahead of Steph Curry when you're talking about the best point guards in the game or whatever position you think Luka plays. the positions are getting less useful every year. So those two dudes at their absolute peak, 80 games of Nurk healthy, and those three healthy in 80 games, and then the small upgrades they make if it all clicks. If like they were horrific on defense last year, and if the additions of Zeller and Larry Nance Jr. make them effective on defense, and now they can go small in the playoffs, or they can stay big, like they can play a bunch of different shapes, and their two guards are at their absolute peak, like. We've seen CJ just shoot the Blazers through a playoff series, 37 in game 7 in Denver. Like he is when he's on, he's been good. He's also had some real stinkers in the playoffs. So it's something like that. I don't know. I don't think this
poo-poo
team has
Mike Richmond. Just poo-poo. Yeah.
Listen, they can do it. They can do it. They need help. Every championship team gets lucky. And
that's
this
true.
This best case scenario Blazer team will need some luck as well.
Yeah, they would have to have a collective step forward, I think, right? Maybe the chemistry and the continuity of all those guys. They've played together for a little while now. Robert Covington now has been there,
right?
A little bit. Obviously, the three main guys. And
maybe Chauncey Billups is a crazy good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great for the Clippers. He helped a bunch of development guys. Like, you might take that collective step forward.
We'll end there with the
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
That's a good way to sound. Let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. The best case scenario for them to be a title contender. It's obvious. It's Jamal Murray comes back. And that team, if Jamal Murray's at full strength, is a title contender. They really are. With Jamal Murray, with Jokic, obviously, with Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Like that is a core four right there that can make the finals. Like outside of Jamal Murray coming back and looking good, like maybe they get away enough. Like with Jamal Murray being 50% or 75% and find the right matchup and they could still get there. But yeah, if Jamal Murray comes back and he looks good in March, or if he comes back in February, they inch him along a little bit and he's full go for the playoffs, then that's a team that none of us want to play.
Yeah. That's one of the three best teams in the West. If they're ready to roll. I mean, I'm a believer. Like I said, I'm kind of a Utah Jazz. I'm a known Utah Jazz hater. So I'm a big believer in the Nuggets.
And
it's a good thing our boss doesn't like cover them and like live free.
Locke knows the score of the game. He knows. He's heard the pod.
His team got trashed in the contenders pod, by the way, on Monday.
All right, good.
Well, of course. So like the Jazz, the Nuggets are going to be one of those teams where the regular season matters a whole lot more, where they can't be 4, 5, 6 in that seeding area. Like they need to be a top 3 seed or something like that to really feel comfortable going in. Like the Clippers seed us anywhere, as long as we're peaking the right time, it's fine. But this Nuggets team needs that. Same with the Jazz. Like the Jazz is going to be the number one seed. No one is going to care because
it's true.
It's like, great. Yeah. You're a good regular season team. That's fantastic. But
you're going to fall when it matters, right?
That mic drop was a metaphor.
Yeah. I just don't see the Nuggets. I mean, obviously the talent's there, right? And the coaching's there, but they need a lot of luck too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the Golden State Warriors, the best case scenario for them to be a title contender. It's Klay Thompson comes back, and Klay Thompson looks like nothing ever happened. He brushes it off his shoulder. Him and Rocco are just like canoeing or kayaking down a river, and everything just is fine again, right? Let's run into this hypothetical. If Klay Thompson is back, how good can this team be? Or do we think that this is a title contender when he comes back?
I'm a little shaky on their depth, so I worry about them in the regular season more than the playoffs. So if they're healthy and they get to the playoffs, they're scary because they can play their dudes a bunch. But I worry a little bit in the regular season. with no disrespect to like Nemanja Bjelica and Otto Porter Jr. Like I just
those are their big additions, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think those are upgrades from what they had last year. And I really like Jordan Poole. I think he's going to go nuts this year. He's just a really good offensive player. But like I worry that, you know, 70% of Clay in the regular season is more detrimental than a 70% Clay in the playoffs, when it's just like, hey, the thing I'm best at is I can shoot us out of a game. That would be my worry for them.
Yeah, I think if Clay's defense is like, as Clay's offense, I'm not really worried about that looking any different. We know what he can do, but his defense has kind of been overrated. I think I'm not saying he's a bad defender, but people kind of pretend that Clay Thompson is like a very like elite kind of perimeter defender, and he's not. He's very good, but coming off an injury, that's kind of the thing that takes the longest time, right? Is getting back to that defensive rhythm, and he's with kind of a whole new, other than like Draymond and Steph, like new guys that he's playing with. So I think learning the system will be interesting. They added Kenny Atkinson, who's a really good assistant coach. I think he's going to help. But yeah, I mean, they got to hope that Clay just hits the ground running and is absolutely ready to go, and that Steph stays healthy. I'm not sure how in I am on the Warriors.
2019 yeah. Clay, though, like if we're just fully hypothetical, they're a team that could win a championship, right? Like 2019 Clay with Steph and Draymond now. Like I think they are.
I
worry about their like playoff rotation. If you get you have Steph, Clay, Draymond, you throw Wiggins in there, Juan Toscano Henderson, I guess.
You got Looney. Looney's a good player.
Jordan Poole's gonna play a bunch.
Yeah, Looney's a nightmare in the playoffs.
That's eight players right there. Maybe one of those young guys steps up, Moody, Kuminga, like, and maybe Otto Porter Jr., Nemanja Bjelica, but yeah, that's interesting. But it all depends on Clay, right? We all just talked about that as if he was going to come back. So last one here, the Philadelphia 76ers, best case scenario to make this team a title contender. If Ben Simmons comes back and he just plays, are they a title contender anyway? I don't think they
absolutely
are.
Absolutely not. They are not a title contender. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but it starts with the head coach. He can't motivate them. They lost to the Hawks. Like, they're not going to win a title with Doc Rivers.
Do you know the GM survey? He got a vote for best motivator of people.
Yeah, him and Tibbs voted for each other.
And in-game adjustments. Best in-game adjustments, Doc Rivers.
Him and Tibbs voted for each other. No, like, he can't motivate guys. And they were a very high seed. Like, that's great. But they're not beating the Bucks. They're not beating this. Whatever we're looking at in Giannis right now is, like, a human being on a level of basketball play. Like, they're not going to beat him. They couldn't beat the Hawks, who are going to be maybe better and more confident next season. Like, they need Ben Simmons to come back and somehow be excited to play for the 76ers, which, like, is going to be a miracle. Like, in what world is – Ben Simmons somehow back with them and is like happy to be there. Like, I just don't think it's happening.
Is there a chance that we get a Joel Embiid, Andre Drummond, Twin Tower scenario where they just zig while everyone else is zagging? And
I hope so.
I mean, being big works. It might not work through the whole playoff. So being big helps. I don't think that big would work. Isn't the best case scenario is that Pascal Siakam is on the roster or something like that? You know, like
best case scenario, they trade Ben Simmons.
Yeah, is that they actually land the fish that they've been trying to get. You know, they finally get Moby Dick and whatever that looks like. they get 17 first round picks and Christian James McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers.
With CJ, like, let's just say they get CJ McCollum, a couple of draft picks or something. Is that team, Mike, do you think that team is good enough to win a title, get to the finals?
Good enough, yes, but I wouldn't pick them. Like they would be, they're the third best team in the East. And if you're the third best team in the conference, you probably have a chance to win a championship just by virtue of talent. But I think the two teams in the East are maybe the best two teams in the league. So yeah. I think the middle of the East is good, and Milwaukee and Brooklyn are very, 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 very hard to deal with. Particularly if any two of the stars in Brooklyn are healthy in the playoffs, that's a nightmare.
There you go. Those are the best case scenarios for these teams to become title contenders. We will have more for you. This is the Locked On Roundtable on the Odyssey NBA season preview.
Dallas Mavericks. I'm lukewarm on Dallas Mavericks. Better than they were last year. Not sure that they're at that level yet, but Luka, probably top three MVP this year. And can he convince everyone on that team to really enjoy playing with Luka? I think the NBA allowing some physicality back into the game will help Luka in some areas and could hurt him, you know, like not getting to the free throw line as much. But I think Luka takes advantage of a more physical game. So Luka Doncic is going to lead this team. I think they're a year older. I do think the Dallas Mavericks will win the first round of a playoff series. LA Clippers, I'm a little bit less bullish about. I know they got some really good players. I love T. Lou as a coach. But without Kawhi Leonard, I think the wear and tear that it's going to put on your team is going to be a lot. I could see them finishing in the play-in tournament. I could see them losing the play-in tournament to a hungry young team like New Orleans or even a Memphis, if that's how it all finishes out. So the Clippers, even if they do make the first round, I can't see them getting out of the first round. But they're probably at some point going to develop some young players, and they'll be really good the following year because Kawhi Leonard will be back and some of these other players will take on more responsibilities.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moving on to the Denver Nuggets, I am super bullish on the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray comes back, and they gave Michael Porter Jr. $200 million for a reason. I'm assuming he looks amazing in pickup games, all the preseason workouts. So the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic, who makes everyone on his team better, they get Aaron Gordon back. I love what they have. I think the absence of Jamal Murray these last couple of months, whenever he comes back, will actually help the Denver Nuggets, and it will help Nikola Jokic as well. So I'm bullish on the Nuggets being a really difficult out in the playoffs. Maybe see him, if Jamal Murray comes back to what he was, maybe seeing him go on to be a team that could go to the Western Conference Finals. And the Portland Trailblazers, not high on this team at all. Could definitely looking at a first round. I just don't think they did enough. I like their players. If I was Neil O'Shea, I would break it up now before next year, because I think you can get a first-round pick for C.J. McCollum, for Norman Powell, Robert Covington. Obviously, what kind of bag can you get for a Damian Lillard trade? So I think they're going to just be okay. I'm not sure they're championship level. And I'd be curious if they ever enter into the discussion of literally like breaking it down halfway through the year. It all comes back to Damian Lillard and how happy he is.
All right, we're back with the Locked On Roundtable, the Odyssey NBA season preview. Nick Angstead covering Locked On Mavs, Charles Mockler covering the Clippers, and Mike Richmond covering the Blazers. The biggest misconception for your team, we'll start with the Dallas Mavericks. And this is one that I think has been overblown a little bit with, you know, Mavs fans. They've maybe gone a little bit too far in one direction, but Luka Doncic is not a bad defender. I think that some people outside of Mavs world, I think somebody maybe even on this podcast has mentioned that he's a bad defender. He's not. He's a pretty solid defender. He can hold his own. He's smart. He's really strong too. It's really hard to push him. And so maybe that's not the biggest misconception, but I wanted to get that off my chest real quick here.
He's in the way that James Harden is not a terrible defender. Luka Doncic is not a terrible defender. Strong, really good hands, really smart. Does he have incredible lateral quickness and like a great desire to lock people down on defense? No. But Luka Doncic is gigantic and strong. Like, that's, if you're going to be bad on defense, that's the formula you would want. The other option is to be a 6'3" guard from a small college. You will get roasted. I've seen it.
And he's not that.
I think Luka's thing is, if he gets a bigger guy matched up on him and they get him into the post and just start kind of banging it around, it might be a little dicey. But no, he's not a complete sieve or anything like that. Like, I think he's yeah.
I would rather get Luka in the post, honestly. I feel like that's where his skills even show up better, where he's just like,
that's fair,
because he's just a monster.
I'm going to throw in a bonus one real quick, and that's that Kristaps Porzingis is not trash, right? Like, I think the conversation has gone in certain places where Porzingis was just, he's that player that he was against the Clippers in the playoffs this past season, right? He's not that. He's not just resigned to sit in the corner. He can still score. He can still do stuff that nobody else really can. And Charles, you remember the year before last that Porzingis was really good in that Clippers series. He had a 38 point game.
Didn't he average
like 21 a game last year?
He did. He's averaged 20 points a game during the regular season. So it's not like he's a terrible player.
It's like he's terrible, but he averaged 21 a game last year. So
he's terrible, but he averages 21. But there's no eye test that this man passes. There's no, like, I like analytics, I like the other side of the ball, but like Kristaps, when it's going well, you're still like, all right, this is going to drop off a cliff at some point, and then the other side of the ball will just hunt him out. And I think he gets demoralized by getting picked on defense, like, which makes total sense. You kind of like to see that pride and not wanting that happen, but I think that kind of gets to him. And I mean, now that he has more freedom under Jason Kidd to post up and take these long twos, like, let's go for it.
All right, let's move on to biggest misconception for the Los Angeles Clippers.
I think the biggest misconception is that this team can't compete in any way without Kawhi Leonard. We have Terrence Mann, who took a step in the playoffs, and hopefully that will continue in the regular season as well. We added Eric Bledsoe, who's going to be a phenomenal defender and really help out the pace, and is just more available than Patrick Beverley, so he's already more useful than him. We are going to need Reggie Jackson to kind of step it up. Marcus Morris as well. Nick Batum, the same thing. But the pieces are there. And I think the biggest misconception is that they're going to be kind of a fringe playoff team. Ty Lue still, I think, kind of gets disrespected by the average NBA fan in terms of how good a coaching he is. But we'll see what happens. I don't want to harp on the schedule too much, but it's definitely against us this year. But I think, I just think the biggest misconception is that the Clippers can't be a top four seed.
Yeah, I mean, they did it in the playoffs. I'm a believer. I'm not like in the way that I think like in the way that I think like Luka plus fine is it might sound like an insult to the Mavericks. Like, I really do believe it. Like, Luka plus a fine roster, you're going to be really good.
And he's,
I
kind of so just
think, I just think the Warriors. I just think the Clippers have like a bunch of competent dudes who are 6'8". And if that is a great combination of just like, we're going to put
2021 basketball.
Yeah, we're just going to put out a bunch of 6'8" dudes who are pretty good. Nick Batum, if you don't ask him to be your third best player, if you ask him to be your fourth best player, he is incredible. Marcus Morris is one of the great shooters in the league. Like, they can play. I'm not worried
about it. If Luke Kennard gets hot, like, now that Luke Kennard has a role figured out, we have another sniper who we can actually learn how to use. Like, it's going to be interesting.
Nick Batum cost Luka a playoff series last year and a medal with that.
So Nick Batum and Terrence Mann, Luka does not like the Clippers. Like, he does not like the Clippers, which is a fun time.
Biggest misconception for the Portland Trailblazers. Maybe it's that they're a contender.
Yeah, it's that they shouldn't have been in this group on the podcast. No, it's probably that the only problem last year was the coaching. I think the coaching was a problem last year, and I think they probably shouldn't have been the 29th in defense, and they certainly shouldn't have lost the opening round playoff series to Facu Campazzo and Austin Rivers. I understand that the MVP was on that team, but you saw who he was passing to. I think that it's like that the fix is on the sideline. The fix has to come. The players play. I'm a believer in talent, and I think the Blazers didn't take enough step forward to kind of mitigate some of their issues. I think they're going to have some similar problems that they had last year, which is like, they're not a particularly good defensive group. Are they going to be pretty good again? Yeah. I think this is a playoff team. I think it's like a bankable playoff team. It's just, I don't think, we've talked about it. Can they possibly take a step forward is the real question.
Is Stotts' seat hot at all? What's the situation with that? Where are you at on that? This kind of
Stotts? He's Stotts is hella fired, bro. He's unemployed.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
His seat is as hot as it can be.
Nice. He says, and he doesn't have one. He's took burning. His seat away. Yeah. Gave it to Chauncey.
I'll take that out. All right. Let's move over to the Denver Nuggets. I think we've already sort of talked about maybe their biggest misconception, but Michael Porter Jr. is not a star in waiting. He got a couple votes for in the GM survey as somebody ready for a breakout year. He averaged like 20 points a game last year. I think that's breaking out enough, right?
Yeah.
What are they expecting? Like, is he going to be like a 30-point scorer somehow with the other guys? Like,
but I think the misconception is that he's a star in waiting. I think he's already kind of there. Mike, you were kind of his biggest champion on the show so far.
I'm a believer. I just think shooting and size is really valuable in the league, and he's got both of them. Isn't the biggest misconception is that like Nikola Jokic is not one of the five best players in the NBA? Like,
I think that's totally.
I mean, yeah. He won MVP, so does that give him enough credit now, or is there more that we have to give him?
I guess it's like, who are you sampling from? But it's like, I don't think he gets he's the best player in the league that people don't think is good. Or
people are
going to
remember that MVP.
Not good. That's
like, which is weird. Like, people are going to be like, oh, he won an MVP. Like, yeah, he was clearly the best player that year.
No, he was the best player in the league. He was the best player at his position. Like, he's just, I don't know. Is the biggest misconception that the Nuggets, like, are maybe is like not a contender? Is that it? Like, I don't know. I think people.
Yeah, we can't write them. Like, I see a lot of times, and we're capable of, or guilty of this too. We just write off, oh, Clippers, Nuggets, you know, Warriors, they have injured stars. Okay, they're just a tier below. And I don't think that's the case for the Nuggets because their star that's hurt is not the best player, you know, it's not their best player.
And their star that's healthy is improves maybe as much as anyone in the league, lifts up, kind of okay guys to elevates them to good. Like, he can, dude makes magic. He's, he too has taken real steps on defense to be just a totally totally reasonable defensive player mixed with otherworldly offensive skills.
And they locked up everyone they needed to in the offseason. Like, they made really solid moves for that team that make a lot of sense. So they are kind of in between like potential and actual contenders. And I think what's getting in the way of that will again be the seeding. Like, I think 1 and 2 is going to be Utah and the Lakers because they really need those spots. But I mean, yeah, if they can float while everyone's out, it'll be interesting.
Let's move on to the Golden State Warriors. Biggest misconception for them. Man, I think let's just go around the table. We could say a couple of them here. The first one that came to mind for me is that Wiggins is bad. I don't think Andrew Wiggins is a bad player, but we think of him as he was the number one pick. He has this huge contract. He's definitely not worth the contract that he is. But if he was getting paid like $10, $12 million, he'd be like, oh, man, that's a really good player for what they're getting for that money. So the expectations for him and the contract make him seem like a worse player than he actually is. There maybe is a bigger misconception than that, though.
Yeah, I don't. It's like, it might be Wiggins. It might be Wiggins. I might join you on that one. It might be Wiggins.
Is it Wiggins or hoping that Clay is going to be fully ready? Like, I don't know.
Oh, some people think he's ready for the start of the season.
There's this assumption that he's like, just when he hits the ground, it's just going to be 100% Clay.
I did see him in a preseason game during warmups make a three right in front of me. He said, he got up off the bench. He's in his full uniform with a headband on. He said, watch this. And he hit a one-legged three and walked walked to the back. So he's ready. I seen him. I saw with my own two eyes. He was like 4 feet from me.
He didn't tell you that he limped the whole way back to the locker room.
I didn't watch his gait after that.
This team was also a really good defensive team last year. I think we think of the Warriors and the offense and Steph Curry, and we forget that this team was like top five defensively last year. That maybe is a misconception that people don't realize, and they should be back there again this year.
Yeah, they'll be right back, and if Wiseman takes a step forward, they could be better. Like, they're gonna be good.
Last question for us is the Philadelphia 76ers. Biggest misconception that they're just on hold until Ben Simmons happens, right? Like, I think that people we're not even talking about them until then something with Ben Simmons happens.
Yeah. Isn't the biggest misconception is that they can actually pull this off? Like, that this has a, resolution, you know, like there's a chance that they blew it. They blew it.
Yeah. How does this end? Is this just the messiest divorce in the history of a young super quasi superstar's career? Like, in the history of North American sports,
it's up there. It's we thought the James Harden stuff was messy. And it might just because of James Harden's style, which is like, go to the club and make sure you're on social media, but like
during COVID.
Yeah. but like, it's hard to see how this ends, and it's hard to see that this gets a good resolution. Like, everyone knows what they're after, and Daryl Morey is obsessed with not losing trades. best of luck to you, Daryl. You've been very good at it to this point. Let's see you do it again, my dude.
And the local media is not helping anything in Philadelphia. Like, you have like Weatherman talking shit on Ben Simmons on their local broadcast and all this stuff where it's like, so the city doesn't even want him back. And like, Philadelphia prides themselves on being like really rude fans to their team. And so I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know where he ends up, but I don't think the Sixers are winning that trade.
There you go. Biggest misconceptions for all the teams. We are Nick Engstead covering the Dallas Mavericks. Subscribe to the Locked On Mavericks podcast on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Charles Mockler covering the Los Angeles Clippers, Locked On Clippers, wherever you get your podcasts. And Portland Trail Blazers, Locked On Blazers. Mike Richmond, your pass first point guard, every single day holding it down on YouTube and on the podcast as well. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. The Odyssey Locked On NBA Ultimate Preview podcast thing that we're doing now.
Hi guys, it's Josh Lloyd here from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Looking at the fantasy value of the teams that we've just discussed, Philadelphia is really interesting. Of course, with no Ben Simmons, it's very hard to understand how that rotation is going to work in a number of ways. If Simmons just holds out, then Tyrese Maxey gets a bump in value and probably is a top 100 player this year. It helps Joel Embiid. It helps Tobias Harris get a lot more value. It probably helps someone like Seth Curry. I really like getting Maxey late. But of course, if Simmons is traded and other players come back, we have no idea what those players are going to be. Is it going to be a point guard pushing Maxey back to the bench? That could end up being a bust of a pick. I'd still happily do it with Tyrese. But I also just understand that there is some variability there. For the Warriors, Steph's going to be a top three pick in most formats. He's going to be great. Draymond Green was a top 20 player over the final 3 months of last season, so a little bit of sneaky value there. Andrew Wiggins continues to just sort of be Andrew Wiggins. There's not a huge amount to excite me about with him. I'm not drafting Klay Thompson. Yeah, he's going to miss 2 to 3 months, be on limited minutes and back-to-back rest as he comes back. It's not worth it, in my opinion. And then someone like a James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. I just don't see a role large enough for any of those guys to be draftable fantasy players. For Dallas, I really want to see how Jason Kidd uses Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis is probably being a little bit undervalued in drafts. I think Tim Hardaway is also being a bit undervalued late, but their mishmash of centers with Dwight Powell and Muxi Kleber and Willie Cauley-Stein and Moses Brown probably takes the value away from all of those guys. Luka gets overdrafted in category leagues. He's not a guy that I would take in the top three. Top eight, no problem. In a points league in the top three, absolutely fine. With the Clippers, without Kawhi Leonard, Paul George becomes like a first-round option. Reggie Jackson gets a boost. Eric Bledsoe is someone I take a flyer on late. Looks like he's going to be starting. Terrence Mann is a guy you can take that option on late as well. Nick Batum, Marcus Morris. They've got a bunch of guys that you can grab with the later picks to see how it pans out. But really, in terms of top-end players, we're looking just at Paul George. For the Nuggets, Jokic is the consensus number one fantasy player in all formats. Don't overthink that. I'm not drafting Jamal Murray because I just don't think he's going to be back to play enough games. I'm also not drafting Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers, as we mentioned earlier. Michael Porter Jr. could push into a second round option. And I think you're taking a late flyer on a Monty Morris. Deeper leagues, maybe a Bones Highland. Faku Campazzo, if you need some assists and some steals, late can be an option there as well. And I also think Will Barton's being a little bit undervalued for Denver. If we look at the last team on this list, the Portland Trail Blazers, Lillard is a really solid top six, top seven player. CJ is in that 50 zone. If he does get traded, that might help him, but it might also hurt him depending on what team he goes to. I think Yusuf Nurkic, we're finally going to see more minutes out of him. He played like 25 a night last year. Billups should be playing him more. He, I think, is going to become a steal. I think Larry Nance is really solid at the end of drafts. There is a risk that Norman Powell is maybe getting overdrafted in some situations. Just need to watch to see if he doesn't go too high. And then Covington always is a guy that tends to slide down draft boards, but puts up really, really strong numbers. So I'm excited about what he's going to be able to do for this upcoming season.
For daily coverage on all six of these teams and more, check out the Locked On NBA Podcast Network wherever you're listening to this podcast, or check us out on YouTube. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our Ultimate NBA Preview Podcast series, deep diving on the Rise teams, a group of teams with young stars and a lot to prove.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.